cities and counties to establish systems of transferable development credits that reduce the development of real property from which credit is transferred and allows increased development of real property to which credit is transferred beyond the amount otherwise permissible under applicable zoning statutes. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 576 would enact the transfer development credit program for Oregon. And there are some people here that have been working on this very extensively from the Deschutes Basin.
Okay. We have a gentleman from Deschutes County Planning Office, I believe. Why don't you step forward, sir, if you would please identify yourself for the record.
Chair Tarno, members of the committee, my name is George Wade. I'm the Director of Community Development for Deschutes County. We believe this is an important bill because it helps us solve a relatively major problem, which I believe some of you have heard of in the Pine area. However, really, it's also just partly an equity issue. Deschutes County happens to be a statutory county. If we were a home rule county, like Dane County, or if we were a city, we wouldn't have to be here asking you if we could do this, because the presumption is we can just do it because you don't say we can't. However, we are a statutory county, and therefore we need to ask permission. And that's why we're here with this call. Lane County has done transfer development credits, I believe, in wetlands and then in other cities in the county, in the state of Oregon. However, it's becoming more popular all over the state, and in your packet, you'll see some testimony from Don Elliott, who is we've hired as a consultant who has worked extensively all over the country implementing these programs and talked a little bit about their successes. Transfer development credits really are just simply shifting density from one place to another. In our case, we believe that we won't have to build sewers, but we can reduce the density somewhere around an acre. And we have platted densities for somewhere around a half an acre, so we're trying to reduce the density by moving it somewhere else. And that's simply what this does. We would give people a certificate of paper that says you have a transferable development credit. If they choose to sell that, they can. They would give up their right to build a house on their land. They would still own their land. It's sort of like an easement. That would be placed on their property and recorded. They couldn't build on their land. Transfer development credits have value, and they're sold, bought and sold like property. I have a lot of explanation material that I've handed out. I won't go into a lot more detail because I think maybe I'll just wait and see what your questions are.
Okay. Mr. Reed, thank you. Questions from the committee? Apparently not, sure. Thank you very much. You're the only person to sign up to testify on Senate Bill 576. We're going to close the public hearing and go into work session on Senate Bill 576. Mr. Senator George.
Are there any amendments to this? Sir?
No amendments, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate Bill 576 to the floor of the defense.
Senator George moves Senate Bill 576 to the floor of the defense recommendation. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, clerk, call the roll, please.
Senator Corson?
Aye.
Senator
Cannon?
Aye.
Senator
Lyle?
Aye.
Chair Thompson?
Chair, aye. Senate Bill 576 is passed before the UPAS recommendation. Is there a volunteer for Sherry on this thing?
Who could ask me?
Diane, let's ask Senator Bryan, if not, to the chair will carry. Thank you. Close the session on Senate Bill 576. We're going to open the. Are we scheduled for the next meeting?
Only if you want.
Well, she's only got three or four more issues at the most to deal with, so I'm probably not going to have an evening meeting, and that'll be especially more in advance. We have one House bill that we're waiting, or one Senate bill that we're waiting for some amendments to, and that's the Senate Bill 49 that you folks are here on. And apparently they have not been done yet from, let's say, Council 10, and it should be done anytime. Right. And so I'm going to go ahead and open up the public hearing and possible session on House Bill 2448. And Ray, let us know who you want to go to stand up that bill is.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2448 comes to us. It requires a guest ranch to be located more than 10 miles from an urban growth boundary and allows a portion of a lot of parcel on which the guest ranch is located to be within the 10-mile urban growth boundary. The background on this, in 1997, Legislative Assembly passed an initial guest ranch bill that allowing the siting of a structure to provide recreational activities in conjunction with a livestock operation or natural setting. Mm-hmm. Among other restrictions, a prohibition was placed on any guest ranch that was not at least 10 miles away from the urban growth boundary. However, the intent of the 10-mile restriction has since been debated, and the language in House Bill 2448 seeks to codify the interpretation of previous legislation.
Thank you, Ray. I assume that the two gentlemen sitting at the dead bill ones are trying to testify in a publication. Mr. Eber, Mr. Honeycutt, go ahead.
Chair Charnham, members of the committee, Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action, speaking in support of House Bill 2448. We also have some amendments that Mr. Eber and I have worked on to the bill. 2448, it's probably easier for me to describe it with a picture than with actual the words I've written in my testimony. But essentially what it does, it says in 1997 the legislature passed a guest ranch siting bill. Some people call them guest ranches. I think they'd be called dude ranches, because that's what we're talking about, what we'd all consider to be a dude ranch. It passed out in 97. I'm sure all three of you were probably voted for it. It was a good little bill. It applies to pilot project, applies in East Oregon, and essentially helps the ag tourism industry. We all thought that we had crafted a bill that was easy to understand, but unfortunately, when the rubber meets the road and we had somebody over in Deschutes County applying, we found out that we hadn't crafted something that was easy to understand. And the basic problem that we had, there was a fellow over in Deschutes County who applied for a guest ranch. His parcel, you can't site a guest ranch within 10 air miles of an urban growth boundary. So you draw basically a circle around the urban growth boundary and it's 10 miles out. You can't site one of these facilities within that 10 air mile boundary. The problem we had is the guy owned a piece of property that was both inside, the parcel was both inside the 10 air miles and outside. Now the facility, and we'll get to this in a minute, the facility that he wanted to site it, that he wanted to use, was more than 10 air, or was at or on or near the 10 air mile boundary, but the parcel, part of the parcel was well within the 10 air miles. The county interpreted the rule, or the statute, as requiring that the entire parcel be outside the 10 air miles, not just the portion where you're, not just the part where you're going to site the dude ranch. I talked to Mr. Eber about that, and we had conversations with the county, and the county, frankly, the county's interpretation is certainly justifiable. You could read it that way, so I certainly don't blame the Deschutes County for reading it that way. That's not what we intended, but that's the way it should be interpreted. So this bill fixes that. It makes sure that the only thing you're concerned about in regards to the 10 air miles is that the guest ranch facility be outside that area. Now the dash one amendments that Mr. Eber and I also worked on preparing also make it clear that the facility itself, the guest ranch facility, be on or over the 10 air mile line and within whatever standard margin of error is there. It's easiest to explain with the example. The same fellow in Deschutes County, this turned into a sort of a comedy of errors. When the county drew the 10 air mile boundary, if you looked at it, you could say it bisected his house. So the 10 air mile boundary went right through the facility that he wanted to use for the guest ranch. The problem was there was with the measuring system that the county used, there was anywhere from 100 to a 500 foot margin of error. So that, you know, give or take 100 to anywhere from 100 to 500 feet on either side, this guy was outside 10 miles, he might be a little bit in.
what the dash one say is, as long as you're within whatever range of error that the county uses in their mapping process, if you're 10 air miles plus or minus whatever the range of error is, you qualify. That should solve this problem, and I think makes this a better bill. The bill passed out of the House 56-4. There wasn't any opposition
to it. Ron, does the state have a standard margin of error that the counties can use as a system, or is it up to individual counties to set their own standard? You know?
Chair Tarno, no. The state has no standard. It would come down to whatever scale map the county is using, whether it's their zoning map or however they're doing the measuring, and there always is a range in there. And so I think, in essence, this language that we've got here in the dash ones is sort of tie goes to the runner, you know.
So you guys will see what dash ones, Ron?
That's correct, Senator.
Okay. Any more comments from you?
I would concur with Mr. Honeycutt. This really was it started out as a technical fix. We clearly intended that it was the guest ranch facility itself that had to be beyond 10 miles, and the fact that a portion of the parcel went within that line was not intended to disqualify that. We, I think, prevailed on the Deschutes County Council that was the intent, and but this does clarify what admittedly wasn't specific enough in the existing statute. So we're okay with both the bills that came over from the House, and I think the dash one amendments further clarify.
Questions to each of you? Thank you both. Appreciate you. No one else has signed up to testify on House Bill 2448. We're going to close the public hearing and go into work session on House Bill 2448. Senator George, did you move the dash ones?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator George moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2448. Senator Hoff, take a quick few things.
Everybody's a favorite, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any objections? Any discussion? Hearing none, they will be adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move House Bill 2448 to the floor with the due pass as amended.
Senator George moves House Bill 2448 as amended with full due pass recommendation. Objections? Discussions? Hearing none, clerk, call the roll, please.
Senator Carson?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye. Jeff Ranch, give me a break.
You don't want to take it.
Yeah.
Aye.
Chair, Senate Bill, House Bill 2448 is a minute passes for a due pass recommendation.
You want to
carry
this? Sure.
You see, Senator Wiley.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
never carry this.
They do, they leave you out.
Right. That's
him.
Yeah. I'm
the fourth
of your series. Close the work session on House Bill 2448. Open the public hearing and possible session on House Bill 2163. I ask Mr. Binder to come forward and where you explain with us.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2163A allows the Water Resource Commission to accept parity or second lien to secure a water development loan if such a position provides adequate security for the loan. It expands eligibility of federal water development projects to include any project that receives federal funding from the federal government. It changes certain uses eligible only as secondary uses to uses that qualify as water development projects. Specifies that purchasing or refinancing is eligible for loan funds if they are necessary to complete a water development project or to provide adequate security for a water development loan, and allows only public entities to refinance existing debt to complete a project.
So the impression I have, this is a housekeeping issue for water resources. Let me know if I'm wrong. If you would, please, go ahead.
Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Bader with the Water Resources Department. This is in part some housekeeping, but I think the primary purpose of this is to create incentives for people to use this loan fund program. We've worked during the last interim with an advisory committee of experts on financial matters to create some options here for folks to use the program. It's a program we think can be very helpful for any water developer, whether it's municipal folks, private citizens, or districts, water districts, irrigation districts.
it provides a source of funding for them to move forward with water development projects that can be quite expensive. It has, this bill would create more flexibility in terms of the types of water development projects that would be available. It opens up some flexibility in terms of matching funds from federal funding sources. And basically, the whole intent behind this is to make it a better program and encourage greater use of it.
Questions of Mr. Butters? Anybody have any questions for you, Tom? Anything else? Any other idea?
I would just add, Mr. Chair, that this had no opposition either from stakeholders. It passed unanimously, or 8-0 vote in the House Committee, and had no opposition on the House floor.
Well, first, for you to pursue this any further, close the public hearing on Criminal 53 MER and Work Session on this bill, gentlemen.
Sure.
George.
I'd like to move House Bill 2163A to the floor of the due pass.
So George moves House Bill 2163 as A amended to the floor of due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? Can the Senate clerk call roll, please?
Senator Hilton?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Sherman? Senator Weill?
Aye.
Senator
Chair, I ask Bill 2163 to pass the floor. Engrossed. Anyone volunteer to say anything? Thank you very much. Thank you. Carry close the work session on 2163. Now we seem to have a bit of a problem because 2164 is going to be carried over until a later date because there are some pending adjustments to the bill. We're going to be not recess, that's what you call it. Just hang loose for a few minutes until we find out much in a minute before my time. Ready? Recess. Recess for a few moments until we try to find out where amendments are to all the bills. On the bill 489.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, sure. Mr. Husing, do you want to briefly come forward and give the committee a brief idea of your involvement in this and what your thoughts are of the Dash Force?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ono Husing, the director of the Oregon Coastal Zone Management Association. Our offices are in Newport, Oregon. We represent units of local government on the Oregon coast, cities, counties, soil and water conservation districts, and Oregon's coastal ports. As you know, Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 489 was originally a bill that was directed to alter the way Goal 17, which is a coastal shoreland goal, essentially that is a regulation under the Department of Land Conservation Development. And it's a goal that is targeted towards trying to make sure that development happens in a way around coastal resources so that we don't damage the resource too much. At the same time, I think that the idea of Goal 17 has always been to allow for some development. It's not a prohibition against development. Well, I think what happened was in Lincoln City, and we have some folks from Lincoln City, and they can speak for themselves on what happened in Lincoln City, but several years ago, the city got a grant from DLCD to open up their Goal 17 inventories and examine whether they were adequate, whether they needed more protection, more riparian buffers around Devil's Lake and certain other areas. That was at a time when numerous communities were getting wetland grants in particular from the Division of State Lands and others because there were becoming increasing conflicts about locating too close to riparian areas and, boy, is there a wetland there or is not, and is Devil's Lake protected? There were a number of folks in Lincoln City who saw the kind of growth happening there. So they dusted off essentially their old resource inventory maps of the city and took a grant from DLC to do a to relook at their Goal 17 inventories. And I think that was back in 1994. And I applaud that. I think it takes guts for a community to say, we're gonna take a hard look at what we've done to protect our resources in the community and reopen those issues because that opens up a real can of worms. It's open heart surgery. It is not a minor matter. But they went ahead and did that, and there has been a citizens advisory group that's been working for a number of years on that, laboring to try to figure out where they're at, where they want to go, how can we provide additional protection without sacrificing private property issues, and they've labored for a number of years, and I think what's happened is there's been some misunderstandings that have gone both ways from some of the people that have been on that Citizens Advisory Committee to what's some of the planning commissioners there, some of the city councilors, what the mayor's view of it, what the local chamber of commerce's view of it, what the Department of Land Conservation Development staffers' view of this emerging work that was coming out of the Citizens Advisory Committee. And I think it caused a lot of people to panic because they felt they were getting a message that there wasn't going to be, the way things were playing out there, that a lot of properties were not going to be able to be developed after all. And I think a number of people were searching for ways to have riparian buffers, but also make sure you could shoehorn something in on the upper edge of the property so you don't face these taking claims. And that's, I think that's the spirit of Goal 17 as well. So when people from the chamber and others, other private property owners, started to see this document emerge, they panicked to a certain extent, and they said, hey, we want to put the brakes on this. We want to make sure we have a full understanding of where this is going. And then they sought, I think, help from Senator George's staff. And the idea was floated in the original 489. The idea was floated, why don't we import the language from Goal 5, the so-called easy analysis, which is environment, energy, social consequences analysis from Goal 5, and Goal 5 covers riparian resources everywhere else in the state. And it's kind of curious. You've got Goal 17 and Goal 5. I don't want to go into this too long. I can tell Senator Corcoran's interested, though, but the interesting thing he's got me in crosshairs.
Then you better pay attention to it because it can be real mean.
I'm trying to make a very complicated situation as simple as possible, but
he knows I'm Irish. Yeah. A nice guy.
Thank you for your confidence, Senator. Well, the point was, and I think we're kind of fast-forwarding to the present, where the idea was floated that, well, we have this thing called an easy analysis under Goal 5 for all these other situations in your district. You know, if you've got a riparian corridor, you go under Goal 5, and you have setbacks, and they allow, under the new, they even rewrote Goal 5, and it specified, yes, you can have some development. It's going to be set back further, but no takings can be caused, essentially. And, of course, you could always go to the court and allege takings claim, an inverse condemnation claim. But I think the people that came to Senator George, and there's some of them are here today, they thought, and I think it's a great question, hey, if Goal 5 works everywhere else in the state, why don't we have the same kind of the easy analysis be put into Goal 17, which is meant to kind of knock off the rough edges, which says even if an area is significant, we're going to allow some development there because there are compelling economic and social reasons to do so. To make a long story short, I think what happened when that suggestion was made, it was amazing the level of dialogue that was going on in Lincoln City. I was following it from a short distance and getting a lot of phone calls from it, but people were starting to lob shells back and forth at each other. Like, wow, you know, Senator George and his people want to bulldoze the coast. And right, I mean, that kind of stuff was going on, and it seemed like people were, instead of exchanging ideas, they were driving themselves further and further apart.
Oh no, I look at you, stick to the dashboard. I'm kind of like my Irish friend here to my left. I want to get this process done pretty quickly.
Thank you for slowing me down enough.
You've got some pretty interesting guys up here, I think, that are very interested.
Bottom line is, I think Senate Bill 489, the experience over has shown that there's a lot of confusion out there, a lot of people may not even understand. I had one environmentalist read me the Goal 5 language that was there and said, isn't that terrible? I said, madam, that came from Goal 5. That's a cherished part of the land use system. So it's amazing, I think, the hype. And so the idea is to have, yet again, another task force that would assemble folks from a broad spectrum of views, sit down. It's been 20 years since we've looked at this stuff. I think we could have an enormous educational value of having these kind of meetings up and down the coast, having the resources necessary. I mean, we ask coastal communities every 5 years to undergo periodic review. Certainly we could review the coastal goals after 20 years and find out what's working and what's not working. And if we end up being involved in the staffing of it, I pledge to you that I will try to keep it as objective and even-handed as possible. And the devil will be in the detail, and the important thing is who gets appointed. And so I think it's important that we have the dash twos with the governors, gets three appointments as well. I want everyone at the end of this to say this was the fairest, broadest, most inclusive.
You mean the dash twos?
Is it a dash? Yes,
you said dash twos.
Right. Sorry. Okay. That dash twos from another bill. I'm not going to.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes.
Thank you. I'll be happy to answer any questions later.
Question. Thanks. Let me ask, Lori, Mr. Sheridan, Mr. and Mrs. Buncombe, have you had a chance to look at the dash 4 memos to this bill? You kind of specify, and I don't know that it's necessary if you tend to agree with the dash 4 amendments.
We completely agree.
Thank you very much. I'd like...
Did you want to report back on the meeting
we
did have?
No, ma'am. I do not. Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate that. Mr. Rendy, Bob, you did sign up initially, and then I see your name crossed off the list. I mean, do you not want to testify? I'm not asking you. You don't have to if you don't want to. Okay. You want to take a look at him, Bob, in this one? I don't want to back you off without the real chance to look him over. Okay, I'm inclined to kick it over the house. It'll give you a little bit of time and take a look at him, Bob, if you want to.
Mr. Chair, since nobody's seen these things, I guess what I would ask is, I just saw the damn thing. If, since nobody else has seen them, is my point, then I'm fine with, you know, first you vote amendments to the floor, and then, you know, if there are issues raised by the governor's office or LCDC, I promise I'll read them into the record on the floor.
That'd be great. I appreciate that. I think we all agree with that. Okay. So unless, Lori, you folks demand a testimony, I'm not going to let you do it. Appreciate that very much. And I've also got that. And unless somebody else demands to testify, I think I'm just going to cut it off.
Does anybody else demand to testify?
Thank you very much.
Good.
Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 49 and open the work session on Senate Bill 49.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator George.
I would like to move the dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 489, known as LC 2269, 42999. I know, you didn't need all that.
Senator George moves the dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 49. Discussion. Objection. Hearing none to order.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Senate Bill 49 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Senator George moves Senate Bill 49 as amended to the floor due pass recommendation. Discussion. Objection. Hearing none, clerk, call the roll, please.
Senator Griffin?
Well, I guess I was going to have some discussion about this, but I guess I'll just vote yes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes. Senator Wild. Aye. Sure, aye. Senate Bill 49 is amended passed the floor to pass recommendation. Senator George Kerry, please. We are adjourned. First session on Senate Bill 49.
We're done.
We're done.
We're out of here. Can I come back to that?
No. We're done.